What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of
Ball Status.
Goo, 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 goo. Just a good old
boy. That's right. And in this episode, IFBB Pro Jordan Hutchinson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you having me.
How do you like that for a quick intro?
It was quick. It's the quickest we've ever done.
Patrick's like, you got to do a quick hook. You got to get the hook. Got to get the hook.
So we've already hooked him, so we can bullshit
yeah,
now.
Now we can bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to be here, guys. I really appreciate it. In studio.
In studio. Yeah. First ever live podcast.
Yeah, I've done a lot
of podcasts.
This is
going to be a test.
This is the first live
intense. We're going to get down and dirty. We're gonna get into this.
Okay.
No, I don't know. it's not going to be that down and dirty. But Jordan is here. I guess a big announcement, right?
Yeah.
That's a big announcement. Jordan just signed on as a core athlete.
Very excited.
This is super cool. You know, Jordan's coming off, you know, a really breakout year or two here. The up and coming IFBB Pro, expecting big things out of you.
Yeah,
I'm sure you are,
man.
Too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm trying to be as patient as possible because I know it's all a long game and you can't rush it. But I had a bigger year than I've ever had, for sure. A lot of progress. And I plan on next year that I'm on stage, next run of shows, I really want to be winning a show, hitting the Olympia. That's the goal. So
heck yeah. So man. let's take a step back. We got questions here, but I never go off on script. But because I want to know more. I want to get down. I want people to make sure they know. You know, the people that follow us and you know, follow our brand, we want to make sure they know about you, where you come from. I think that's important, part of the story, and why, you know, certain athletes will align with our company. I think that's part, you know, that's important, right? So let's get to know you a little bit. Let's get the Jordan origin story, right? Like, where do you come from? You know, did you go to college? Did you skip college? Did you work on a farm? Like, what, you know, what is your story, right? Like, let's start from where you grew up and let's go from there, and then we'll lead into today and what your goals are.
Yeah, so I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina, just 2 hours east of here.
And he didn't even know about the gym right here.
No, I know.
He's all pissed.
I knew about it,
yeah,
but I keep telling everybody here it's like crazy that I didn't just make a 2-hour trip to train at this gym as well equipped as it is. But I had been in Asheville, North Carolina up until 2023, my whole childhood. Grew up in a house with, I was one of five kids, homeschooled for most of my childhood, and really taught me how to work hard. I had a job since I was 14 years old, worked really hard all the way since then, and started weight training in the gym, was like 17.
Was your family into weight training?
No. I mean, my dad, he was, you know, into track in high school, and then into cycling, which I actually did a little bit of road biking, mountain biking, and racing and stuff like that when I was in middle school and stuff with him. And I played a lot of basketball, played a little bit of football. What really got me into weight training was I loved playing football, but I'd only played one season. I was so small compared to all the other guys. Like, I was talented.
So what is
athletic.
So small?
Well, so I was like,
because I can't imagine you being small.
I was like 155, 160. At like 5'9" back then, so, you know.
And this is high school? I mean, high school?
Yeah, so that was like 16, 17. So this is 130 pounds later. So it's definitely, but, and that was, you know, I'm 29 now, so I've been at this for about 12 years. And I honestly, to be real with you, I hated weight training prior to that. I hated, any of my friends said anything about going to lift weights, I was like, please, anything else.
So what do you think made that change, that you became such a passion of yours?
It was truly for one thing, when you have somewhat of a talent at something and you have decent genetics, you're going to pick something up like that pretty quick. And bodybuilding is a genetic sport. So, you know, at first I'm looking at this daunting task of building some muscle and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I could ever add that kind of muscle to my frame. I don't know how to do it. But then I just started at it with some buddies of mine in the gym, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm building muscle really fast, and I'm just eating everything. And
those newbie gains,
oh my gosh,
great?
Burritos all the time, McDonald's pre-workout, whatever I wanted, and just staying lean and growing. And I just fell in love with the process. I fell in love with training. I always wanted to squat, bench, and deadlift, and it just went from there. And eventually people in the gym were like, you really should compete. And I was like, I'm not going to put panties on and step on stage. This is really weird. This beauty contest you guys talk about with muscles.
Yeah.
And here I am. Yeah. You know, so.
A professional bikini competitor.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's a glorified beauty pageant, but it's, you know, the training behind is what I love.
So go back to your first show. When was this? How old were you? What show was this?
So I was 19, I believe. It was 2015 after a couple years of training. And it was the Carolina Supernatural down in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I had fun. You know, a lot of people told me to do men's physique because I would have done really well there, but I was all about training legs.
Yeah.
And I had some pretty good legs on me. And so I just competed in bodybuilding. I did okay. Got second place in novice, but, you know, I just loved the process. And then I just kept going from there. And then my next show was 2017, the NPC.
So you took a couple years off.
Yeah,
a couple I'm assuming years off. You came back and looked completely different that year.
Yeah, mostly. Honestly, like my first few times competing, I just didn't figure the training out and the recovery aspect, and maybe didn't have the best guidance. The most progress I made was kind of between 2018 and 2021, but I most of my time bodybuilding has been in off seasons, not competing.
Yeah,
where I'm just grinding in the gym and eating. That's what I love to do.
That's what, I mean, when I was back competing, you know, I would always take at least a year off, and I really haven't competed that. I mean, I've, over the course of my career, I've competed quite a bit, but like really didn't compete a whole lot. Right. And I was seeing that the people that are always competing always look the same.
Exactly.
Right. And so for me, I didn't compete between 2009 and 2014.
Wow.
And my first show was 2002. My last show was 2014. I did a bunch of shows in 14, and then I was like, okay, I did what I wanted to do. I'm kind of done. But that 5 years, the difference between me as a bodybuilder in 2009 and 2014 was night and day different. And it really wasn't, I mean, yeah, there was definitely a weight difference, but in those 5 years, maybe it was 5 pounds on stage, 7 pounds on stage in a 5 year period,
mm-hmm.
you know, which doesn't really sound like a whole lot, but it was completely different.
The detail and the density that you build,
I think,
over that time.
People that compete way too much. And it's hard because if you're a pro like you are, they expect you. You have fans, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I was going to say, like for you, like you're still newer on the side of it, but like, what is that balance there, right? Like knowing that, I mean, even like,
I mean, you got these sponsors just beating down your throat. You got to compete.
You're just killing me right now.
But yeah, like, what is the balance, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's hard. I mean, I will say the thing is, I've never done this as an attention-seeking thing. I think with bodybuilding and with Instagram, social media, the way people approach it is like, oh, I get all this attention when I'm lean and when I'm shredded for a show, and everybody takes attention to me, and I don't care about that. I do it for the love of the sport, and I love to train and I love to grow. So, you know, I try to make sure I balance the business aspect because that is an aspect of what I do now. And it does make it more difficult. I have to, you know, put more time into being creative with social media and finding value. But the thing is I know long term, if I put the time in, whether people are just spinning their wheels, competing over and over and over and never growing, I'm going to surpass them. And that's what I've done a lot over the years. Like before I went pro, I took a 3 year off season. And if you saw my pictures like 6 to 8 months out from USA's, you would have said, this guy's like way too heavy. He's going to have to lose like 80 pounds to get on stage. Like I looked chubby. I did not look like a pro bodybuilder at all. And you know,
so you took was that 2018 to 21?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you didn't compete at all during that time period.
No, I just was grinding, man.
And then you won the USA overall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when was your first pro show after? So that if that was 2001, when was your first pro show?
Yeah, 2021 to 2023. So I took another 2 years off.
Okay.
So.
And then how many pro shows have you done so far?
So I did 2023. I did one pro show. And then 24 was my best year. I did three pro shows last year. So my first show, my pro debut, I got fifth at the Texas Pro, so top five my first time out. You know, Andrew Jack and Hunter Labrador were at that show, so it was a competitive show. But then the next year, you know, I worked my way into it because a lot of these being a pro, it's hard. You got to be seen in front of the judges. There's such deep lineups. It's like you can easily get lost in the lineup. I've been there at Chicago Pro. I had a tough time with that. But as I kept showing up, you know, I got a really good placement at Texas Pro last August, second place. So knocking on the door of an Olympia qualification, really close. The only guy that beat me was Andrew Jacked, and he's, you know, top five, top six in the Olympia. So
what is your future? What does the next 2 years look like for you in terms of competition? What do you think? And I know we just talked about this out there.
Yeah,
but
we're good. Yeah. So truly my goal is not to just win a pro show and say, okay, sweet, I qualified for the Olympia and then place last place. So, like, even if I do barely graze a qualification by competing early, I would rather put a little more time in and be even better to where when I do get that Olympia qualification, I'll be competitive at the Olympia. So that's really the goal. So that's why I'm not being in so much of a rush to jump.
What are your personal expectations? Do you think you can win the Olympia one day?
Winning the Olympia is just something that's like, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm going to win the Olympia because I just don't feel right saying that. You have to be the top percent of genetics. It's got to be the right, you've got to be.
Stars got to align. Like,
yeah, and you've got to be the right look that the judges want for that time frame, that mix of guys.
What are you
for.
Hearing from the judges? What are you hearing from the pundit? You know, all the IFBB podcasters.
I mean,
you know, like.
Truly, I think my potential is up there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that are no BS, that are legends in the sport, have really talked to me. They're like, I see you as top five in the next few years. So, you know, that's not from me. That's what I'm being told from some people I really trust that are not going to just blow smoke. But that's on my trajectory. The thing is, you get one injury, you have setbacks. That may not happen. But as far as my shape, my conditioning, the only thing I'm missing is just more time and more size. And that just, you know, takes time. Got to be patient with that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, for us, we definitely see that potential and we want to see help you get there. You know, this is, you know, for me, you know, CORE was built out of natural bodybuilding, not IFBB pro bodybuilding, right? So you're our first open pro that we've ever brought on as a sponsored athlete.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for me, it was, you know, I'm Drug Miller, dude, you know? Like, we're getting into IFBB now, you know what I'm saying?
No. Have you heard that?
I have. Yeah. He was telling me about that earlier, and I can't imagine the accusations when you were a natural pro.
Yeah, and what we were talking about is just like, why? I don't understand why people get so wrapped up in it. They're so wrapped up in what the other guy is doing that they're not even doing anything themselves, right? And so they limit their own potential by just talking shit. Like, let's be honest, right? It's kind of crazy. But I think when we spoke on the phone, you know, at quite some length, I felt like you were definitely aligned. You came out of natural bodybuilding, right?
I started there, and the love,
and you have this love of training, which I think at the deep core, no pun intended, is totally aligned with everyone at CORE.
Right.
Like all of the people like Patrick and, you know, Carl and all these people who've been around the brand helping it grow through the years, it all stems around that love to train. Yeah. Now Patrick's training has changed. Now he flows. You know, it's changed through time, but it's the love of training and pushing yourself. And I think we align very much on that. And, you know, the expectation and you know, supplements are just a part of the bigger picture, right?
Just a tool, yeah.
It's just a tool. And, I, you know, we've been preaching that for literally 20 years. And, you know, there's certain supplements that we have. No matter where you compete, they can help you just as much.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I think in talking and, you know, our core values very much aligned. And, you know, I'm excited for this opportunity to be a little bit more a part of that, you know, the IFBB scene and, you know, what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And yeah, I have to say, and I've told you this, you know, early on, I remember seeing pictures of you when I was starting in the gym. I'm like, this is what's possible. Now, I don't know if I have your genetics or not, but, you know,
he's sitting here at 290. I'm like at 210. So,
well, you know, it's just seeing you when I was like 17 years old and I was competing at, you know, the Carolina Supernatural. I'm like, this guy is an absolute freak. I don't have your arm genetics, but I'm working on it.
But as we said, it's legs and back. legs is what back. Wind shows, right? That's and you true. Have the legs, that's for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, but the arms—the arms get you clicks on TikTok.
Yeah, they get. The, yeah,
they do. They get the they're the tank top bodybuilders. I'm not a tank top.
Yeah, bodybuilder. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I've always appreciated your work ethic and what you've built here. So I'm super happy to be a part of it, and it's one of those I've had a lot of full circle kind of things in my it being at the place I am in bodybuilding now, where I actually get to be with the people that like early on I was like, gosh, this guy's incredible. And like now I get to sit here on a podcast with you and
that's awesome.
I get to be a part of like Gasp with Branch Warren. And like, it's just these things that come full circle that I'm just so grateful and appreciative of. And it means a lot to me.
And really I think does. I appreciate you. And, you know, I think one of the really cool things about this is like when in speaking with you, you actually understood supplements and you took supplements and they were an important. And one of the things was like, I need to get with a brand where they have a bunch of supplements that I want to use, that I need to use, right?
And legit formulations.
Legit formulations. So it's refreshing talking to, and this is no disrespect to any other big time pros that we've talked to through the years, but you know, sometimes their understanding of supplements was quite different than the conversation you and I had.
Right.
Right. Like you understood, you know, kind of, you know, why these formulas are so good and, you know, why we do what we do. And I think it's really important. I think you're going to be a great spokesperson for the brand. And I think you're going to be able to introduce it to a lot more people. So we're definitely excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you. And one of the things that stood out to you is one of your core values that says ethics over money. And, you know, I think a lot of people take the easy route, take the cheaper route, whatever they can increase the margins on.
Yep.
And I think you guys have a good mix of products for everyone, but like your top of the line products don't miss a single ingredient that's needed in there. And that stands out to me because that's what I want to put my name behind is I don't want people to look at a formula and be like, why would Jordan promote this?
Yeah.
Because absolutely. I know this isn't the best on the market, but I want to promote those kind of formulations that you take the time to.
I mean, and you, we even, this is a little teaser. We might've talked about it before, but you know, Core is really, you know, we're coming out with a more essential pre, a more budget friendly pre, but even though, you know, we have premium products, they're not cheap, but they're a great value. They might be expensive, but they're so loaded. But so we wanted to get into a little bit lower price point on the pre-workout, but I was like, but we can't skimp. So even though it's a 30 serve, I mean, as you looked at this, you're like, I couldn't believe it had all this in it for a 30 serve at $34.99.
No.
Yeah. So like, you know, that's just what we do. So it might not be, it doesn't have to be expensive to still be super premium in that category. We want to make the best budget pre we can,
right,
you know, at that. And we always, I mean, that's part of what we do.
Yeah,
so
I respect that a lot. So glad to have my name behind that, really.
Right on. So let's, because we were talking about this earlier and my mind was a little bit blown because I couldn't imagine. I remember at the peak of my eating, I was at about maybe 4,000 calories, right?
Yeah.
And I think you said that you were up to like 6,500 or
close
something
to
like
it.
That.
Yeah, we just, as of like probably 5 days ago, pulled it back a little bit. But so, I was pretty comfortably eating 6,500 calories.
So walk me through a 6,500 calorie day.
So breakfast is the biggest one. It's like 215 grams of carbs. Like,
so what is that? But what is it? Oats? Is it?
Yeah, it's so 140 grams of cream of rice. I eat the like flavor gang bowl gains, and then 3 English muffins, 2 eggs, 350 grams of egg whites, 75 grams of banana, 20 grams of peanut butter. And honestly, and I make it all
do
into
you mix
like
that
waffles.
In? I was going to say, do you mix all that together?
Yeah. Everything goes together as waffles except for the, and then the
he even puts his chicken together in a waffle. He just blends everything and makes it waffle.
I thought about it. Somebody DM'd me that. But honestly, my chicken and rice meals, you know, the next two meals are the same. It'd be 475 grams of rice and.
Which is how many grams of carbs in 475?
135, yeah. Something like that. Somewhere around there. And then, you know, 175 grams of chicken, 33 grams of avocado. It's like 5 grams of fat and some veggies. Then pre and post workout are like around the ballpark of like, I think 130, 140 grams of carbs pre and like 160 post.
What does your pre and post look like? Like meals for food selection?
So lately, to keep it lighter, because I was doing cream of rice pre as well.
Yeah.
I was just sitting heavy on my stomach. Yeah. So I started doing chicken, rice, and dates and peanut butter. I know that sounds super weird.
Yeah.
dates are really low dense volume, and, dense
used,
and carbs.
I use dates a lot. And it, it's great. Like even prunes or cranberries, like dried.
I haven't tried those. I mean, I've tried them,
I remember during my
diets.
my load for my shows in 2019, my one of my loading meals was rice, like dried cranberries and ground turkey.
Yeah, and it helps you digest it super well, and it's low volume, won't blow your stomach. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So, like, my post-workout's been shredded mini wheats and whey.
Yeah.
And fruit, and then some peanut butter. So, like...
Well, good thing you got Core Gut in your arsenal now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And also the ISO digests so well.
Yeah.
So...
That's what So, I love oatmeal, but sometimes oatmeal, like... If I usually do about 100 grams of carbs pre-workout, and sometimes oatmeal is just it's a lot. It just sits heavy. So for me, it's like a faster digesting cereal. I'll do like Honey Nut Cheerios or like a rice cereal and pour ISO over it, and it's so good. Some banana, and it's like I don't feel full, and I can get a lot of carbs in and eat it pretty quickly, and I feel
like
lighter.
I could eat double, like I could eat it all over again.
I see JD's eating like troughs of cereal, you know, throughout the day. I'm like, what meal is this? You know, and he's just chowing on.
JD is a pig in mud right now. He's loving having Jordan in town. It's been super cool. It's been fun.
We're about to get some legs in here. Yeah. In
oh, he's, I can't wait to. I can't wait to see the videos on here. All right. So partnership with Core. So have you previous? You've been with previous supplement companies, right? So what
only one.
Only one. So what were you looking for? I know we talked for quite a while. So. In a supplement company, what are you looking for? What were you looking for?
I saw you reaching for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely want the core values to match. So, you know, I see, and the brand itself to match my personal brand. You know, I think that we align. I love the formulations of my last supplement company. One thing I'll never do is just accept either free supplements or commission, paycheck, whatever it may be, for something that I don't believe works or don't believe in. And I definitely won't ever accept it for something I don't actually use.
Right.
And sadly, with social media these days, that does happen. Someone just says they use something and they don't. So I want it to be everything that I would need for my own use as well as my clients. And it's very important that we have a full supplement line. And so, you know, like I said, I have nothing bad to say about my last company I was with. I think their formulations and their flavorings were great.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot they were missing. The health line stuff that you guys have, liver, kidney, heart. You know, you even have hair, skin, and nail products. Like, it's crazy. So, you know, you have a full line. You have something for everyone. So you really don't miss somewhere where they're going to have to go somewhere else for something.
Well, especially as a coach too, like that, like having, you know, like this person's coming to you for all this detail and like, it's not just, hey, here's your pre-workout and your protein, but hey, here's your multivite, like here's everything that you need, right? Like I don't have to like ask you to go to Vitamin Shop or somewhere else to get, you know, these A, B, and C supplements. You just get them all here, right?
Right. And people ask all the time. What do you use? What do you like the most? And so I wanted someone that I wanted to use everything from, and not a company that just has, you know, a few products for pre-workout and, you know, pump formula and whatever else.
How many supplements do you actually take? I mean, because I'm a supplement junkie. I will handful. So, like, this is just what I do. Like, I'm a supplement nerd. So, like, what are your top five? Give me your, like, top five, and top then give five. Me, like, your next five if you have them.
Now, are we talking
okay, so you can put protein. Let's put protein on a shelf. So, you said you do isolate. Are you able to do the blend at all?
Yeah, I will, as long as it's not pre or post workout.
Okay.
As long as,
So, let's put protein over here, because, of course, that's going to be a big thing for you.
Right. It's food, you know?
Yeah. Like
So, I mean, of course, like performance-wise, I want to always have a pre-workout. I don't want something stemmed out. I need to have adequate citrulline in there, you know, focus blends that help, you know, but pump is my main focus. Like I want something that's going to provide good blood flow and not stem me out. So a really solid pre-workout would be one. I always take EAAs and inter-workout carbs. Always.
So you're an intra-workout carb guy.
Yeah,
I guess somebody your size, you got to be. So how many grams of carbs do you do during your training?
45.
Okay.
I never go crazy high with it.
Does that change when you're in competition?
Not much. We probably lowest will go 30 intro because I want to keep that recovery fast.
Have you used our core intro yet?
I've not used it yet. I'm really excited.
The formula is
it's insane. I've looked at it. It's got pump stuff in it too.
Yeah.
So keep the pump going forever. Yeah, for sure. So I guess that's what, 3, and then of course creatine. I mean, that's just a given. You cannot have, you got to have creatine.
Yep.
In the mix.
Do you ever use a fat burner?
I haven't used a fat burner in a really long time.
Yep.
I will say I did not use much of the fat burner from the last company I was with. Mm-hmm. They had DMHA in it just made me cracked out a little bit. And if it had too much appetite, does yours have an appetite suppressor?
Yeah, there's a little bit in there. Anything with stims is going to be, yeah.
So yeah. I'd need probably like half a serving.
Yeah.
Just because I still eat a lot in prep. So I don't necessarily need an appetite suppressant.
But the cool thing, and going back to the full line that we have, right? Like, so we're just going to call this weight management support.
Right.
Right? Like that's what that topic is, right? So we have burn, your powdered, thermogenic, full spectrum, fat burner, right? So it's going to have caffeine, it's going to have stimulant. But then you have shred, non-stimulant. Right. And so you have that aspect to it too.
Where bro, but he told me he sweats a lot. So that one will light you up, boy. If you want to get sweaty during cardio, man,
lose about 10 pounds probably.
But
in
then
one
we
session.
Even have like core sear, and we're gonna dive into all these more like offline. But sear is a non-stimulant. It's not even a thermogenic. It's more like it's a weight management product that helps you turn your adipose
talker louder. My speaker just went out. Keep talking. I think we're good.
Like your white adipose tissue into brown adipose tissue, which is going to help you utilize it's browning your fat. So it's using your fatty tissue for more energy source than just storing.
Gotcha.
Right? And then like you have core hard, which is a anti-cortisol hardening
agent.
That's
the one I've heard about.
It's like our number one selling.
It's like our number one selling.
It's our number one selling.
So many people use that because cortisol support is so important. So
right.
Where that would probably be something in the mix that I've taken from a bunch of different companies, any kind of cortisol support in a prep, that would probably be in my top 5.
Yeah, but all those fall into a fat loss category.
Right,
right,
right.
So that's what's cool about the brand is that like we just don't have a fat burner; we have a whole weight loss system.
But hard, I could be taking all off season.
Yeah, you could.
It would only help.
I think for you, probably I would take them all at nighttime before bed. So people can split them up, but like I feel like it would do well for you taking all three before bed.
I'd take all three.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people like it. It has a little bit of a calming effect. Huh. As well, and so like
I'd love to take it as long as I don't wake up and sweat.
No, we used to have we don't make it anymore. We had a longevity product where we put GBB in it, which is like
I've used it before,
and
it's insane.
Oh my gosh! And on paper, it just didn't. It was way more sweaty than we expected it to be, and so like I'll never forget. My wife took it once, like before bed. No joke. I woke up. She's sleeping on the floor. Just on the floor. She already had a shower. She went through like three different changes of clothes, and she just sweat through the whole bed. She's like, I am never taking that again.
No, I have a funny story too. It was after one of what show was it? It may have been USA. No, it wasn't USA's. It was Texas Pro. And I came home, and when you're post-show, you want to eat a bunch of food, and you're holding all this water. So I was like, all right, I'm doing cardio. I'm going to take – I took a supplement that had that in it.
Yeah.
I was going to go do cardio, and then my coach was like, no, you need to rest. Like, you too much stress on your body. So I just went on a walk, and then she wanted me to pick up sushi. I walk in the sushi restaurant to pick it up, and I'm dripping all over their floor. The lady's looking at me like I'm insane.
It's
crazy.
Some people like that, but it's not for me, not later in the day. I could only take that product before noon.
It's no joke, though. So, I mean, there's something for but like I said, there's something for everybody here. So, like, I know plenty of people that say, oh, I don't even sweat. I wish I sweat more. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All
right. So, last two questions. So, you've learned a lot. You're still super young in this sport. So, you use a coach now?
Yeah. So, I've been with the same coach, Chris Tuttle, for over 5 years now. January, okay. January 2020.
So he knows your body pretty well.
Yeah, and he took me to where I'm at, man.
Are you doing anything differently now, knowing kind of how you've responded and the success you've had? Are you doing anything different in the coming year, or is it pretty much same game plan for you?
Same game plan as far as the last couple of years. I've changed my training. I've been really monitoring my recovery, making sure I'm, you know, working on mobility a ton. I had a lot of adductor injuries and shoulder flare-ups and a bunch of different things that I don't deal with anymore.
Yeah.
Just having to know when to pull back on training, know when to push harder, know when to take things to a higher rep range. And we've really just learned how to manage recovery and fatigue, whether in the off season or in prep. And everything's just so much easier.
So how many days a week are you training now?
I still train 5 days a week.
What's your split look like?
But that's the biggest thing that we've changed the last couple of years is I train back twice a week. My chest and my legs grow like nothing else. So like I only train one leg day a week.
So you do hams and quads together?
Hams and quads together. Sometimes
they grow pretty much consistently together. Like
mostly I'll put one hamstring exercise on one of my back days sometimes. Yeah. But like my chest day is it's got four chest movements, and then I sprinkle shoulders in with like arms, chest, and back. So I'll split it up to where I'll do rear delts with a back day and then side delts with my arms and my chest day, and then do some pressing on arm day. But I really focus on my arm training and my back training. So like I hit my biceps with back one day, and then I have a full arm day. Hit triceps with chest.
All right, you got to walk me through this split. All right, so walk me through the split.
So Monday is chest, side delts, triceps. Tuesday is back and biceps, and that's the day I'll sometimes throw in a hamstring.
Yep.
Wednesday's off. Thursday's legs. Friday is shoulders and arms, where I'll do like a shoulder press, and then Saturday is back and rear delts. Sunday's off. I always like to have my Wednesdays and Sundays off. I just like it consistent.
Yeah, that's the split that my favorite split. I'm off Thursday and Sunday. Like I got to have a Sunday off and then a day during the week.
I don't want to train on Sunday.
When I try, and you know, my kids are super busy and we're traveling a lot for sports and stuff, so it's been hard. So I've been having to do like 5 days in a row and then take 2 days off. But 5 days in a row, I'm wrecked. Like I'm just by Friday, I am just beat.
I have this conversation with clients a lot.
Yeah.
They'll tell me, well, lately, I've kind of been training 5 days in a row. I'm like, if you're not beat, I need you training a little harder.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're really training all out, you should be absolutely beat up by the fourth or fifth day.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
I remember I used to train 6 days a week for so long.
I did that back in like 2018. I think it peeled off a ton of muscle when I was
I feel like output after 3 days in a row, you could tell the fourth day is just garbage.
Yeah. And just one day of rest is just not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, man. So I mean,
I think five is a sweet spot, is what I've found, especially the older I get.
Yeah.
So I think I could even probably go to 4 days.
I've thought about it.
I just feel kind of like, man, like what am I doing?
I just love to train too much.
So do 4 days of bodybuilding, one day of flow.
One flow day?
Yeah.
One flow. All right. So let's take it the kind of the reverse question. So that's kind of going forward. You know, I think you figured some things out, but let's go back. Let's talk to young Jordan, 17-year-old, you know, getting into this. So what is the advice there?
What is the advice
you give yourself as you're getting into this sport? Would you do anything differently?
I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been so appreciative of, like, the opportunities I've had. You know, like, I've been able to make a career out of this. One thing you asked earlier was if I went to college. I was working a ton and bodybuilding, trying to compete. And I was in school as well, paying cash my way through community college, buying my own books. I couldn't get any financial aid. Like, I was just trying to hustle, man.
Yeah.
I've always hustled. So, and I got to the point I couldn't stay awake in my classes because when I wanted to work, be a bodybuilder, and do school, sleep went out the window. So at some point I was like, I can't keep doing this. And then I just went all in on bodybuilding. And that was 2017, 2018, where I was like, all right, I don't know what I want to do for a career, so I'm just going to work hard, save money, and bodybuild for right now. And then it just turned into something else. So
you are now you are a full-time bodybuilder. Did you ever think you would be a full-time body? I mean, like,
I never did. No.
When did you?
Did your family think you were crazy? Because I feel like every bodybuilder's family thinks they're crazy.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny because I'll talk to like my grandma. I remember one time she was like, she was telling me I was crazy for not finishing school. What is he doing with this bodybuilding thing? But you know, she loves me, and she was so proud of me when I started being successful with it and really making a career out of it. And she even told me one time, you know, how proud she was. Like, it's really cool to see that, because, like, and I can't blame them, because it looks really dumb. Like, it's like, you really think you're going to stop going to school and not pursue a career like that, and you're just going to work whatever job and hustle and do this bodybuilding thing. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like being an entrepreneur now and wearing all the different hats I wear and being able to make it a successful and enjoyable career. Like, I don't know that I would take back certain dumb things I did in the gym that caused me to have to be more careful now because I've had injuries. Maybe would avoid that. But overall, I think I made decent decisions over the course of time and molded me to who I am. And God's taken care of me and given me a path to go along. So
that's awesome. Well, speaking of dumb things in the gym, so what are the dumb lifts you've done? Like, you're a pretty strong dude. Like, so what are your are you a volume guy? Or are you like just heavy? Like, what is your training style here?
Now I'm more.
I have volume. All these questions now that we're towards the end of the podcast.
You're good. I'm more volume now. I mean, back in the day, I was more heavy. Like, I wanted to test out my PRs all the time. Now I'm a little bit more volume. It was honestly a year and a half ago, or maybe right out a year ago, I was in prep and it hurt my back deadlifting, just straight leg deadlifting five plates, just not smart in the middle of prep. It's like, why would you do that?
Been there.
You know, it's like on my third rep, I knew it was too heavy and I was going for it anyways.
Yeah.
Back in 2017, I had like a micro tear in my left pec because I was dumbbell pressing too heavy.
Yeah.
Something I had no business doing, you know. And hack squatting crazy heavy, popping my adductors, pulling stuff. Like, it's just over the years you learn to train more.
I feel like at 29, though, you seem pretty well level-headed. I feel like at 29 I was still pretty stupid. Like, I just feel like I was still doing dumb crap yet last week.
You're like doing dumb stuff all the time.
Yeah, so like
calculated dumb. Good. It's like calculated dumb.
Good on you. Yeah, there's a fine line. Like, you got to go.
Like at the Arnold, like you popped your back, but you kept deadlifting.
But I felt like I needed it. But
you had a massage gun, so it was good.
I knew that was that was terrible. Like, it was just a freak thing because I was just doing a supported selectorized row, and I was like, oh, my back does not feel good after like 12 hours of the Arnold. And I was like, but it's like Friday night at the Arnold. We have to deadlift.
Yeah, right.
And so next thing you know, we're repping deadlifts. I was like, this is just going to suck. Luckily, I survived. Like, it wasn't like a terrible thing. But yeah, that was stupid. At 45, I should know better. But
I was just back there watching.
You were like, yeah, but you had that sleeveless shirt on.
Bro, I busted out the sleeveless. I still showed Dave what's up. when did you decide I'm going to do this full time? Was that like... you moved to Texas, or was that before?
It was before. I went pro in August of 2021. By February of 2022, I was too busy to keep a normal job. I was pulling back my hours, trying to get people shifts at my job. I had a sales job, and I was just to the point, I was like, I cannot do both. And so I just went all in on coaching and bodybuilding and doing that whole deal. And it's really been nice. Some days I honestly miss having a regular job. Like, I'm at home a lot. I got to mix it up. And, like, so I'm always on my computer, always on my phone.
Yeah.
But I'm very grateful for it, you know. So it's been about 3 years now, I guess, a little over 3 years.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on your success. There'll be many more. I'm sure we'll have you back. When you win Mr. Olympia, well, you know, of course, we'll have you back on this
I know.
You can't say it, but I can. So anyways, appreciate you. We're excited. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming from Core and Jordan in the near future. You know, maybe your own flavor. You know, we did do that a chicken and waffles flavor. You know that?
Really?
Like a legit last April Fool's. We actually did chicken. We might even some here for you.
I mean, R&D is even working on like pancake waffle mixes.
Yeah, so maybe like you're you get your own flavor of, but you should try the chicken and waffle.
I'll
pretty
try
crazy.
It out. I'll give it a shot.
All right, guys. Till next time, keep crushing it.
See y'all.